This parasha, we learn about the permission of eating meat. Does anyone know where the pasuk is? I didn't look up the pasuk.
It's right after the month.
Okay, eating meat. Ach basar. Here the pasuk says, "Vayivarech lekem esnoach v'yasbanav v'yomalam pru uruvu." Umilu es aretz umarachem v'chidchem yel al kol chayas aretz v'al kolif hashemayim v'bchol asher tumos ha'adama kol remes asher hu chay lochem yihye le'ochlo ki yerek esev nasati lochem es kol. Okay, so it says here explicitly, it says anything that creeps on the earth you can eat meat. Don't eat it alive. Okay, so we have over here a pasuk beferish that you're allowed to eat anything that creeps upon the earth. You're allowed to eat meat. So here is my shaila to you. This shaila is presented in the latest, hot off the press. It's not so hot off the press. It's already cooled down. It's from Pesach. This came out in the spring. This came out in... There should be a new one now, by now.
Yeah, I think there is.
There's a new one already? I didn't see it out. No. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. What am I saying? I'm sorry. The fall. This just came out. Just came out. Confusing the Pesach round. I'm confusing. Just came out. Fall 2016. Sukkot 5777. Okay, hot off the press. It's still steaming. Whew. It's hot.
How did I get it?
Good question. They're supposed to mail it to me. That's really the truth. Because my father was very involved with them. In fact, one of them was dedicated in honor of my father. All right, but I got it. By hook or by crook, I got it. And they have here the topic. The topic is the halakhic status of genetically engineered meat. Genetically engineered meat.
Meat
that has been produced in a laboratory. How in the world do you produce meat in a laboratory? Well, they did it. This article is written by Rabbi Yehuda Spitz from Eretz Yisrael, the Sholem Yeshiva and Rosh Chabura of the Or Lagoyla Halacha Kol of Yeshivat Or Sameach in Yerushalayim. He presents that the BBC broke an exclusive story on that many claim that potential to change the world. He goes on to say the story was done in Netherlands. Maisa Shahoya, the University of the Netherlands, had done the impossible. They created the world's first laboratory-grown hamburger. This hamburger cost the laboratory $325,000 to produce. $325,000 for a hamburger. What did they do? So the truth is, it's a secret. There are a lot of patents, pending patents. They are not giving out their tiny. They clone animals today. They're trying to clone people. They're trying to create babies and test tube babies and decide the gender. They're trying to manipulate the DNA of test tube babies to make them genetically perfect and do all these things. So why can't they make genetically produced meat? So they did. They made a hamburger. It cost them $325,000. The technique they used is a mystery. It is a secret because they want to profit. They want to eventually patent this technology and be able to make a killing by not needing to have animals anymore. We can make meat through in the laboratory. So that's the question. So all we know about this is that they use stem cells. Stem cells from the cow's muscle tissue. If this clarifies anything for you. But that's the question. Stem cells were extracted from a cow's muscle tissue. It was taken into the laboratory. They use a technique which is not being revealed. It's a major secret. Not being revealed, and they produced a real hamburger that is indistinguishable from one that you would buy in McDonald's, Burger King, and Kosher Delight, Olav HaShalom. So this is the question. The question is, number one, if you were to do this, is it kosher? Number two, is it parif milchix? As a fleishix? Is it parif? Number three, what bracha would you make on it? Okay, these are all the questions.
It's an old question with gelatin.
Yes, so when it comes to all this, so therefore this is one, now this article really is drawn from, the first one to write about this was Rabbi Tzvi Reisman. He's a very big Talmud Chacham. He's a businessman from LA. So he wrote an article in Techumen. Techumen is a very, very popular publication. Very high quality articles. It's in modern Hebrew. And he wrote a very comprehensive article discussing this topic. I actually tried to read that article before I even knew about this. And I couldn't get past the first page because the modern Hebrew is way, way over my head. Especially when you're dealing with all the technology, I'm totally, totally out of the game. But here, it's in English. So it was a little bit easier for me to comprehend. And especially, it seems that a lot of the things he keeps on referring to that article, it seems that a lot of what he's writing over here is basically is taken from the article over there. He's just explaining it. So first thing first, let's discuss. So he ties into this Shaila, literally, Kol HaTorah Kula, into this Shaila. Now let's just discuss, let's run through all of the issues. All of the issues are as follows. Now, by the way, if you want to know the end, bottom line, machlekes, and the bottom line is, it's just not going to happen. Everything is every step of the way. Every step of the way will be a machlekes. Okay, so what are the issues? First of all, this is really nothing new. Where do we find in the Torah meat that's not considered real meat? So the first example is Avraham Avinu, he served the Malachim in Parashas Chayei Sarah, he served them Basar B'Cholav. What does it say in the Pasuk? Three Lashayas, and also says he told Eliezer, bring milk. Bring milk. So it says there, he served meat and milk. And in fact, the Medrash says, this is one of the arguments that Moshe Rabbeinu made in Shemayim to the Malachim. You want the Torah. You're not observant. You're not observant. You're not Torah Jews. Didn't you go down to Avraham Avinu and eat by Avraham Avinu basar b'cholav? What kind of person? A guy is a Malach at McDonald's. Wants the Torah? We're Klal Yisrael. We don't have a McDonald's in our community. We'll have it at Yisrael now. What?
They're Dutch.
No, so it says in the past, it seems that they gave them first meat milk. So therefore, okay, so that's one medrash. However, the Malbim writes, and it's not just the Malbim, it says that Avraham Avinu, the reason why he was allowed to give them meat and milk was because the meat that he gave them was taken from an animal that he created with the Sefer Yetzirah. That would be a real feat. Forget about the laboratory, genetically engineered meat. Sefer Yetzirah. He had a laboratory, Avraham Avinu. He went. This is the Malbim. It's not just the Malbim. Other commentators as well. That Avraham Avinu, he went into the bag, went into his basement, he went into the laboratory, and he filled out the Sefer Yetzirah. There were three malachim. He made three animals, and he took out their tongue, and he took some milk, and he gave, and also he manufactured milk, and he gave it to them. And the Malbim says there is no issue whatsoever on the halacha basa b'chala because this is not a halachic meat. It may taste like meat. It may smell like meat. It may look like meat, but in halacha, it's not called meat because it did not come from a real animal. It came from the Sefer Yetzirah. So off the bat, one would suggest what?
On Star Trek, there's no problem with bus buffalo.
That's how they make meat there, genetically engineered.
They just say, you know, they tell them
genetically engineered meat, and they have meat. Ein achanami. Give you another example where we had this Yosef. According to some of the commentators, Yosef accused his brothers of eating Evim Menachai. His brothers, they had animals, and they took a bite out of the animal. So he went to his father. Father, my brothers, what are they doing? So there are many answers as to what they did, but one of the answers was, the reason why they were not Machban Evim Menachai was because they created these animals with the Sefer Yetzirah. So what do we take out of this Chazal? And again, everything is just, you know, just throwing around things, is that if something is not authentic, it's not, even though it may be better than real, it may have all of the qualities under a microscope, It's exactly the same, if not better. It's healthier, it's better, it's more perfect. But if it's not authentic, then it's not in halacha called basar.
But they took it from the stem cells of an animal.
Oh, so we're coming to that. So you want to now say, wait a minute, this is authentic because it came from a stem cell. But if you want to go looking right now on a very superficial level, it's not a real animal. They took over here a teeny, under a microscope, a teeny little dot, and you go and you put in a laboratory and you start playing games and you have a piece of meat. Is that called an authentic animal that came from a real animal that's walking in the street? You can't go tell me. So if off the bat we would like to say that this is going to be mutter based upon this Maamar Chazal, and it's not called meat. And what bracha? That's another shaila. The shaila of a bracha. What will be the shaila of a bracha? The shaila of bracha is the same shaila comes to the man. The poskim, in fact, do what bracha did they make on the man? So there are three opinions. Some say hamoitzi lechem min hashamayim. Some say they said hamoitzi lechem. Some say they made. I don't remember. Some say shahakol. Or they say hamoitzi. Some say they didn't make a bracha at all. There's no bracha. Yitaka, don't make a bracha on something which came. That would mean that genetically engineered meat, maybe in a chanami, you don't make a bracha at all. Or maybe make a shahakol. Maybe.
If that's the case, then you don't make a bracha on candy.
So, I don't know. Because that's a shiloh which we're really not getting into over here. Okay, now, why should this not be so simple? The reason why this should not be so simple is because. Gelatin. Let's discuss the shaila. This is really the main thrust of the nice chunk of this article. Is what about pills? And we all know that today there is a industry of supplements, vitamins, pills, medication, and many of them are made in they're put in in capsules, gelatin capsules. What are gelatin capsules? Now there are kosher gelatin capsules, but most of them are not kosher. Where do they come from? Now, it's not so simple. You have the technology is continuously changing. The shaila was presented probably more than 100 years ago to Rav Chaim Oizer Gwazinski, Rav Simcha Zelig Rieger, Dayan of Brisk, and at that time, and Rav Avadia Yosef, and at that time, again, that's at that time, not today, gelatin was taken from cow bones. Hard, very hard cow bones and cow skins. That was a later technology. Now, the cow bones, and at least cow bones, the bone itself in halacha is not midaraisa basar, and it's not even midaraisa osar because it's not a meat. It's not basar. They would take that and they would do some, without going into the entire process, which is beyond me, and they would do some chemical process and they would produce these gelatin capsules. According to many poskim, it's ponim, the keywords are ponim chadoshos bos lekan. It's an entirely new object. There's no resemblance to what it looked like in the beginning. It's memele fits in this category, ponim chadoshos bos lekan. And therefore, there were many gedolim of the previous generation that categorically said that it's mutter, based upon this yisod. And there's one caveat. That was when they made gelatin from cow bones. Today, I don't believe they make it anymore from cow bones. They have new technology where they're able to make it from the skin or even from meat. And not just from cow meat, it's ideal to make from pig meat. Pig meat or pig skin or the softer parts of animals. Now there are two problems. Number one, these animals, even if it's a kosher animal, there was no shchita. Let's say you know for a fact that the gelatin came from a cow, which many of them do. It does not come from a pig. Okay, very good, it came from a cow, but the cow definitely did not have shchita. Unless you have a hechsher, you have special runs. They do special runs, but it's not. There's no hechsher. And then also you have to take into consideration, maybe it came from a non-kosher animal, specifically a pig's. So this became a major, major issue. First of all, Rav Aaron Kotler and Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Eliezer Silver, all of them disagreed with Rav Chaim Oizer and Rav Simcha Zelig Rieger, the Brisk Dayan, and they all passed in the gelatin, even when it's made from the bones, is osur. Because of the concept of achshavei. that you give it chashiv. So for you, it's considered something which you eat. It has the status of a food. Maybe it's not the araisa, but at least midrabanan. It's at least midrabanan, and they were. And certainly, it's going to be much, much more problematic when gelatin today is being made from parts of the animal which really are edible, either the soft skin or meat, which are, so therefore it's very possible that even Chaim Oizer and all the people that were matur in the previous generation would admit that today it's much, much more of a problem. So, what?
Moshe,
you make a shahakol. If it's kosher, you would make a, no, on a pill you don't make, you attack
water. From an animal.
You're asking a very good question. Why don't you make a bracha on the pill? You're asking a very good question. If since the pill is edible, or a veggie cap, okay? They make the veggie cap from vegetable. You're right. I don't know the answer.
You don't taste it. You swallow.
You don't taste it. Okay. If you let's say you take a socket. Not everyone can swallow. There's no taste. Deer aspirin is bitter. What about Advil? It's coated with sugar. So it's a problem. I do not know the answer. It's a problem. If you swallow it, okay, then you don't make a bracha. That's off the bat. That's a given. But not everyone can swallow. I have a very hard time personally swallowing. I prefer.
So the water you drink with it also doesn't get a shock.
The water you don't make a shock. But if, let's say, let's say you suck an Advil. It's delicious. Okay. But the beginning, it's coated for about 10 seconds, not even, for 5 seconds, when you suck off the sugar coating on before you get to the bitter white part, it's sugar, it's pleasurable. So, taka, should you make a bracha? I do not know the answer. Maybe you should make a bracha. I don't know the answer. Okay, let's put that aside. But the point we want to make over here is, we have over here a shalom when it comes to gelatin. You take something which is forbidden, and you transform it into what's called ponim chadosh espos lekan. But opposite that, achshevei, by showing that you make it into food, you show that it's considered to be a food. You do consider it to be something significant in your mind. It's choshev. It's a principle called achshevei. We have a major machlekes apoyskim where the majority opinion is that it should be aser, and therefore the same exact shaila will be relevant when it comes to genetically engineered meat. This has to be a contributing factor to the discussion. Okay, very quickly, we're running out of time. Another issue is Dover Hamaimit, that when you take these stem cells and you put them into whatever you're doing with them to make them into meat, it's certainly in the category of a Dover Hamaimit. When you make cheese and you put into the cheese the rennet is a halacha called a dover hamayimit. Even though something itself is insignificant, it's very, very, it's very insignificant, but it should have the status of a dover hamayimit. A dover hamayimit is not bottle. Because again, going to the next issue, if you're starting over with something which is prohibited, and you're making it into a piece of meat, a big piece of meat, why don't we say that the new product that you're producing is a million times more of the original? So we should say that the prohibited matter from where it came from is batel b'roif, batel b'shishim in the new product. So the reason why you can't say that the new product is mevatel, the prohibited starting point, is because the starting point should be in the category of a dover hamaimit, and your idea, something which is a maimed, which is responsible for the development and the growth of something much larger than itself, is never bottle. However, there is one leniency in this regard. When you have a dover hamaimed that's together with another dover hamaimed, when it's called zeh v'zeh goyrein, then the rules of bittul are more relaxed. Then you can apply the rules of bittul. So one thing we know for sure, when they take this stem cell and they bring it into the laboratory, we don't know the exact technique. They're not revealing the exact technique. If they would tell us, we probably wouldn't understand what they're doing anyway, unless you work in a lab and you know what's going on. But certainly they're adding other things. It cannot just be they're taking a stem cell and they're just saying hocus pocus, eeny meeny miny mo, and all of a sudden it turns into a piece of meat. They're obviously adding other ingredients into the stem cell that's going to cause it to develop into a piece of meat. So it turns out that the stem cell itself is a davar hamay, is davar is a zev zeh goyrin. If the other ingredients are kosher, and the stem cell came from a non-kosher animal, or came from an animal from which there was no shechita, then they would be zev zeh goyrin. When it's zev zeh goyrin, then indeed it's batel. However, we have another problem that when you say zev zeh goyim is batal, you're not allowed to lechatchila be mevatal it. Zev zeh goyim is batal is only after the fact. To go into the business of doing this, zev zeh goyim would not be a Jew, would not be allowed lechatchila to go into the business of zev zeh goyim. And furthermore, even if the goy does it, if a guy does it to sell or does it on the behalf of a Jew, we also apply the principle that lechatchila you're not allowed to go into such a business. Rav Moshe even writes, they write that a kashrus organization that has been understood, been accepted from time immemorial, from the beginning when the kashrus organizations came into existence, that they would never give a hechsher on something that is produced through the principle of zeh v'zeh goyim, even though it's kosher. It's kosher b'diavet. If it happened by accident that you have a product that came about through a maimid, that's a davar ha'asr, but it was a situation where it was zeh v'zeh, okay, it's kosher. But to give a hechsher from an organization that such a thing is kosher, never. And Moshe says,
the difference between the OU and the European hechsher.
No, even the European hechsher.
Because, yeah. For example, you used to have with the maple syrup was K, because they used to put in the pig
staff
to get rid of the foam.
Yeah.
So as long as it was K, there was no problem. But as soon as the OU wanted
K to K is a generic hechsher.
Right, but as soon as they got an OU on it,
they didn't want to give hechsher.
The OU can't give it.
Because Zev is Zev Garm. So this is another passage. There's no way you can go into the business. If you're on a stranded, you're on a desert island, the only meat they have, you're on the Enterprise. And the only thing available to eat is in genetically engineered meat. Okay, so what could you do? But to go into the business of making genetically engineered meat, this is something which you cannot do. So it wouldn't be very practical. Another problem is you have another principle called Dovar.
Years ago, they wanted to make a Bempakua farm.
Right. So Rebelsky was. Rebelsky, what did he say about this? They're still trying. Okay, another issue. Another Maimon Chazal. Dovar hayotze min atomei tomei. Dovar hayotze min atar tar. That's not the Ben Bekua. Since this, the entire source, forget about Zevezeh Goyim, it's worse than Zevezeh Goyim. Since the entire source of this new genetically engineered meat is Dover Min HaTameh, it's either non-kosher, no shchita, it's in the category of like a Ben Bekua. Not a Ben Bekua, it's in the category of if a kosher, an animal that looks kosher, comes out of an animal that's not kosher, even though the animal that comes out is a mutant, and that's all of the right simonim, it doesn't matter. It's a principle of adavar minatame tame. So even though the new meat that you're going to engineer is going to look kosher, the fact that it was produced from adavar tame, automatically will knock it off and it'll be considered to be considered treif. Okay, another issue is gidule iser. There's a halacha that if you have tevel, truma, and meiser, I have fruits of truma and meiser, and I plant it in the ground, and it produces. So what is the halacha? It depends. If it's davar shezaroi kola, if the seed, if you plant something in the ground, and the seed disintegrates into dust, into nothing, and then it grows, then it's mutter, b'diavet. But if the seed, like an onion, it doesn't completely disintegrate, the seed remains and it just develops and grows more and more, davar she'ein zaroi kala, gidule iser is aser. So you have to ask yourself, genetically engineered meat, is it in the category of davar she'zaroi kala? Absolutely not. Because the original, at least we don't know the technology, what they're doing with it, but the assumption is that the stem cell is still there. It's like a bulb of an onion. It's still there, and it's giving off more. So therefore, it's also prohibited because of the problem of gidulei dav, gidulei minare, gidulei iser, davar she'ein zaroi kala. Now, even if you want to make use of all of the various leniencies and say that it's going to be good, the other shadow we mentioned is, will it be pariv, or will it have the status of meat? So that's also a gelatin question. A gelatin that you know for a fact, let's say it's kosher, everything is kosher. You know that they did a kosher run on gelatin. They slaughtered the animal, they have such things. Is the gelatin capsule that you're using for your pills, is it fleshix or is it pariv? This is a big machlokes apayiskim. Rav Moshe holds it's pariv. Rav Aaron Koller and others are of the opinion that it's fleshix. L'may nafka, meaning you can't take it with milk. You can't swallow down your gelatin capsules together with milk because it has the status of being fleshix. So that's another issue. Now, this some of these issues also came to be in the famous, he devotes some space to this, the famous Coca-Cola Shaila. In 1930, Rabbi Geffen, interesting name for someone who's giving Hechsher on Coca-Cola, Rabbi Geffen gave the Hechsher on Coca-Cola, and indeed Coca-Cola in the original formula had a non-kosher ingredient. And it was a Shaila of Zeh V'Zeh Goyrein. And Rabbi Geffen, he did not want to give a Hechsher. He went, and the other Rabbanim before him, it was a big machlokes, the Rabbanim that preceded him said it's kosher, even though there was a non-kosher ingredient. You can read about all this, it's all written up all over the place, this the history of Coca-Cola. I had it written up recently, I think
beautiful in... beautiful article by his daughter. It's considered the first halacha in America.
The Coca-Cola, Shaila. Rabbi Geffen, he was not the first one to give a Hechsher, but he came along and convinced the Coca-Cola company to replace that ingredient with a kosher ingredient, and they listened. Shockingly, they listened.
It was a lawyer, it was a non-from lawyer, Jewish lawyer, who gave them the concept of putting the Coke bottle, the lid bottle, because there was a lot of competition, and the bottle could be trademarked.
Yeah.
You could call yourself Coca-Cola.
There were a lot of infringements on the trademark.
So the bottle was unique, and he was on the board, and he was friendly with the rabbi. And
he convinced them to change the ingredients. So a lot of the shilas of Zeh Goyrim and Bittul were really appeared in this sugya of the Coca-Cola Shaila. The Gerei Geffen, a lot of credit. He writes over here a beautiful paragraph of Rabbi Geffen. He says, Rabbi Geffen was the first one that taught the world and Kashrus to something called a higher standard. That he did not settle for it's kosher b'di'evet. What?
I thought Yibun Hashem would do that.
I don't know. A higher standard where even though technically it may be kosher, it's a higher standard of being more kosher. Now he writes at the very, very end, and after he wrote this entire article, already for publication, it was brought to his attention that they revealed new information in the Netherlands how they make genetically engineered meat. More details leaked. They took the stem cells off the of the cow, of the, what I say, what part of the cow was it, whatever it was, and they soaked it in fresh calf blood. So blood is certainly treif. And now you have kibush, soaking. Kibush for 24 hours, kibush is kibushal. So this only complicates the matter much, much more. So the way it stands now is that if you really want to have genetically engineered meat, it has to come. There is a way to do it. First of all, you're not going to be able to use calf blood. Blood is out no matter what, because blood is even from a kosher. You're going to have to start off with the stem cells of a kosher, an animal that has been shechted, kahalacha. If you have an animal, a cow, or any animal, and they shecht it lehalacha, and they determine that it is kosher, lechatchila glat kosher, lechatchila beis yosef glat, so then you can now start. You can start with those stem cells, and indeed you can manufacture, genetically engineer meat, provided that you don't in the meantime add any other things which are prohibited, which are problematic.
What would be the point then? You already slaughtered the animal.
What?
What would be the point?
No, because you're starting with the Dover Atar. If you slaughter the animal.
What would be the point of maybe the process that you already have the meat?
No, you want to make more meat. You have them now. You in the lab, you can produce an infinite amount more mix. It's all theoretical. They say it costs $250,000 to produce a hamburger. We're talking about it theoretically. So you can produce an infinite amount of meat, but you have to. One thing is for sure, to avoid all of these shilas, for sure, you have to start off with an animal that had a kosher shechita and extract the stem cells from an animal that had a kosher shechita. Then you're going to engineer. However you're going to engineer, you got to watch every ingredient. You're not going to be able to soak it in calf blood in order to start the process. Assuming you find a replacement for that, then yeah, you're going to have meat.
Soak the calf.
When you're finished, you're going to have halacha l'maisa, you're going to have to be chayish that it's going to be fleishiks. You're going to have to take into consideration the chumrus that indeed it is fleishiks. And even though it, technically it's not basar, another issue, you cannot have it with milk. Don't get carried away and think, oh, I could take this genetically engineered meat and have a cheeseburger. First of all, maybe it's really meat, has the status of meat. And even if you want to work with the poskim, you'll find all the legal loopholes that it's not called basar, it's kosher. Government at tahar tar, everything is kosher ingredients, and it's going to be parif, but it's marasayin. No one's going to deny the fact that you're going to take genetically engineered meat and you're going to put a slab of cheese upon it and you're going to cook it together, that it's not going to be a chashash of marasayin, basa b'cholof. That far you'll never be able to go. This pretty much is the synopsis of this fantastic article here in the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society. Okay, we'll stop here.